New year, right? New year, so let's be reminded of a couple old things. This is Tomoka's reason. This is our mission statement. If any of you are uncertain or have forgotten, right? Let's say this together. We exist to make it hard to go to hell from this generation. Amen? That's why we're here, right? Just so we don't forget, right? There's a million other things that can get in the way, but this is our heartbeat, right? This is what we want to accomplish, right? Last year, we saw over 465 people between baptism and partnership join Tomoka Christian Church. 465, yeah. Largest number we've had in 1 year, but we exist to make it hard for people to go to hell, which is why passages like Romans 1 are important to us. Paul writes, I'm not ashamed of the gospel because it, the gospel, is the power of God for the salvation of everyone, say it with me, who believes, right? That's our hope. Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians these words about the gospel. I want to remind you of this gospel I preached to you, he says, which you received and which you've taken your stand. By this gospel, you are saved if you hold firmly to the word I preached to you. Otherwise, you've believed in vain. For what I received, Paul said, I passed on to you as of first importance. This is what he gave them, that Christ died for our sins according to the scripture, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures. The gospel is ultimately about Jesus. Amen? It's about his death, burial, and resurrection for you and for me. And so for the next 8 weeks, we're going to get to explore the Gospel of John. And John tells us in his book, this is why I wrote it. John 20, 30 and 31 say this. Jesus did many other miraculous signs in the presence of his disciples. He said, I didn't write those in this book. He says this, but these stories, these things I've written, why? Say it with me, church, that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing, you may have life in his name. We get a chance to jump into the Gospel of John with this one hope for the writer, that people will believe in Jesus Christ and in believing have eternal life. Amen? That's the goal. So as you know, I've been dealing with vertigo over the last 4 months. It has been, it's not been fun, right? And for those of you that have prayed for me, I can't thank you enough for that. It's been almost 3 weeks, a little over 3 weeks since I've had my last episode. And so it's been an interesting journey in the process. And I've learned stuff that's been helpful. I've learned a lot of stuff that is stupid, right? It's cost me lots of time and cost me thousands of dollars in the process. But here's a couple things that I got out of it. Apparently, I am blind in my right eye, right? So one of the things I found out is that between your hearing and your vision and what goes on in the back of your neck, those three things work together to help you with your balance, right? And so one of the things that finally happened was somebody took notice and said, hey, we need to get you an eye test. Well, here's the problem. I went to the eye doctor 20-some years ago and found out that my right eye was blind. And they gave me one contact. And they said, your left eye is perfect. And they said, your right eye stinks. And they gave me a contact. Now, I don't know about you, those of you online, but I do not like anything getting close to my eye. So I tried to put this contact in, and every time they got close to my eye, I closed my eye. I couldn't get the contact in. I tried and I tried and I tried, and eventually I just gave up and went, you know what, it'll be fine. Well, 20 years later, I found out it's not fine. My right eye's gotten worse. I can barely see out of it. And one of the things I found is that even though I don't want to, right, I'm gonna have to start wearing prescription glasses, right? Now, for those of you that have had glasses forever, you're like, boo-hoo, get over it, right? I get it. But for the rest of us that have gone our 60 years of life without putting anything on our face to help our eyesight, it's not really something I'm looking forward to. Because I don't know about you, but the minute you put a facial accessory on, you gotta get the right fit. Otherwise, you look like an idiot, okay? And so the most complicated part of going to the eye doctor was trying to pick out a pair of frames, because I don't want to look like a moron, okay? And they asked me about contacts, and guess what? I'm not going to be able to put a contact in, because if it gets close to my eye, I'm going to knock it away, right? And so what I'm finding out is there are things that I need that I might not necessarily know that I need them or even want to have them. Another thing I found out is that because of a hearing deficit I apparently have in my left ear, I may have Meniere's disease as a part of the reason why I have vertigo. And one of the things I found out is if you have Meniere's disease, you have to have low sodium intake. Yeah. Man, this aging thing is so fun, right? Yeah. So it's like, hey, you need to check your sodium intake. I'm like, I don't take in a lot of salt. Like, I don't even use salt, right? But when you get to looking at the things you're eating and drinking, you're like, I take in a lot of salt, right? So apparently, one of the things I found out I needed that I didn't necessarily know I needed, right, and may not want, is I found out I have to sort of live on a low sodium diet. I'm not sure I wouldn't rather have vertigo at this point in time, okay? But all I'm saying is there are things that we find out that we need, things that we find out that will help us that we may not necessarily know about or even want. And I think for lots of people, that's the case with Jesus. There are things that you may not know you need in your life that only Jesus can provide that can help you. Maybe you've tried to do it on your own. Maybe 2024 was nothing more than you being reminded that you've tried to fix yourself. You've tried to make your marriage work. You've tried to make it financially. And guess what? It's not working. There might be something you need that you don't know you need until you actually have it. And so today we're going to answer two questions. Why do you need Jesus? Why do you need Jesus? Right? Paul said this in Acts, or Luke said this in Acts 4:12. He said, salvation is found in, say it with me, church, in no one else. Nobody else, right? For there's no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved. What I want to know for myself and what I want you to know for yourself is, do you need Jesus? And for those of you online in here that already know Jesus, let me hear you say amen, right? You already know at some level you need Jesus. But as the days grow shorter and the end grows nearer, it's probably time for some of us to take needing Jesus a little bit more serious. Maybe 2025 needs to be a year where we stop playing around with our faith and finally start taking it serious and realizing that maybe you're blind in your right eye. Maybe you have a hearing deficit in your metaphorical left ear. And maybe it's time for us to take Jesus a little bit more serious. So I'm asking you to stand. We're going to read a few verses today in John 1 just to get started. We're going to spend 8 weeks in the gospel of John, as John writes to help us believe in Jesus. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And just so you know, this is where the Jehovah's Witnesses get it wrong, right? The Jehovah's Witnesses write in their book, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was a God, right? That's where they go wrong. Jesus isn't The Word isn't God. The Word is simply a God created by a greater God. And everything else goes off the rail from there. But John writes in verse 2, he was with God in the beginning. Through him, that is the Word of God, all things were made. Without the Word, nothing was made that's been made. And in the Word was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness. The darkness has not understood it. There came a man who was sent from God. His name was John the Baptist. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him, the light, all men might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to every man was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children not born of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. Word became flesh, made his dwelling among us. We've seen his glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. John testifies concerning him. He cries out saying, "This was he of whom I said, 'He who comes after me has surpassed me because he was before me.' From the fullness of his grace, we've all received one blessing after another. For the law was given through Moses, grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, but God, the one and only, who is at the Father's side, has made him known." You can be seated. So let's talk about why you need Jesus. And you might not even know that you need Jesus, right? Here's the first reason you need Jesus: because of who he is. Because of who he is. So it's been a really long year for the Bears fans in the world. Really, really long year, right? Like such high hopes at the beginning of the year, number one draft pick, right? 6 weeks into the season, we're 4-2. Everybody's talking playoffs. Our quarterback's being talked about as rookie of the year. And then we lost 12 games in a row. Welcome to being a Bears fan, right? And here's the problem with being a Bears fan is this stinking thing right here, right? Like, that's just gross, right? Like, it's hard to look at, it's hard to watch. And as bad as this is, right, and we get to end the season playing these people today, right, is these three guys, right? Brett Favre, Jordan Love, and Aaron Rodgers, right? Our nemesis. Right? These three guys have tortured the Bears over the years. As a matter of fact, I went and looked to verify. These three people have played the Bears a collective 69 times in their career. And these three people have beaten the Bears 51 of those 69 times. Whew. You know, this is why I've missed preaching. I need some therapy. You guys give it to me, right? Like, and here's the thing. As much as I can't stand it, obviously we need people like this on our team, right? Like, I don't like any of these people, right? Like, don't like them. But you know what? We need them, right? We need them. Listen, part of the reason you need Jesus is because of who he is, right? These guys are good quarterbacks, Hall of Famer, certain Hall of Famer. Who knows? But these guys are good, right? These guys are good. We need people like this because of who they are. You need Jesus because of who he is. Listen to what scripture says in John chapter 1 about who Jesus is. In the beginning was the Word. He is, first of all, pre-existent. The Word of God was there before the beginning. Before the beginning began, the Word of God was there. In the beginning was the Word. And he says the Word was with God. Everybody say this word here. With, meaning he's coexistent. He wasn't just pre-existent, but coexistent. Totally separate, totally in the same category, but completely separate. And the Word was God. Right? He was with God in the beginning, a pre-existent, co-existent, self-existent God. We could spend forever talking about those, but that's not what I want to focus on. Verse 3 says this about who he is. That is, through the Word, what's it say? All things. Everybody say all things. He says, through him all things were made, and without the Word, nothing was made that's been made. You want to know why you need Jesus and may not know it? Is because he made you. Somebody say amen. Amen. Listen to Colossians 1. Colossians 1 says this about God who made you. Jesus, the Word of God, is the image of the invisible God. He's the firstborn over all creation. Listen to this. For by him, say it with me, all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible. Check this out, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, listen to this, all things were created by Jesus, but more importantly, and what? For him. You wanna know why you need Jesus who may not know it? Not only did he make you, he made you for him. For him. Let's start with those that are online in here that may not know Jesus. Listen, maybe you don't understand this, but your only true value, your only true meaning that you're gonna find in life is coming from realizing that God didn't just make you, he made you for himself. Listen, the world, you and I are constantly searching for value and meaning in life. Listen, one of the most crippling parts about having vertigo at 60 is not only dealing with the fact that when you turn 60, the world begins to see you a little bit different, and now all of a sudden you're thinking about a different stage of life, and all of a sudden this thing that you've done for 20, 30 years that gives you value and meaning as a person, all of a sudden it's coming time for you to think about getting out of that and handing that over to somebody else. On top of that, you get vertigo, and you can't do your job. You can't preach. You can't do the thing that you get hired to do. And all of a sudden you find yourself, even after 40 years of being a Christian, struggling with, do I have any value? Do I have any meaning? Is there anything that am I just done, right? And I know that can sound stupid to some of you, right? But a lot of you understand that struggle, right? Is there value and purpose and meaning in my life, right? And here's the thing. Your value and purpose will never be found in being the executive pastor at Tomoka Christian Church Court. Your value and purpose will be found in realizing that Jesus made you for himself. For himself. And listen, maybe you've tried to figure out that your value will be in having a family and having a job and having this and having that. You need Jesus because he made all things, including you, and he made you for himself. He made you for himself. How many of you in this room and online have made children? I know it sounds tricky the way I said it. And some of you were hesitant to answer the question, right? And how many of you had people that made you, right? One of the most complicated things about making children is when they fail to understand as those who made them that at some level for the first few years, they were made for you. Right? How many of you have told those children that you've made to do something and they sort of didn't like your direction? Right? And how many of you, when told by the people that made you, rejected some of their direction? I realize this isn't Saturday night church, so this is more church, I get it, right? But we don't like it. Part of the reason why people don't want Jesus is because somewhere they know that they were made for something greater than this, but to give into it means to surrender their authority. And they just don't wanna do it. And what about those of you in the room and online sitting on the stage that already know Jesus? We say, well, Cord, we already got that. We understand that God made us. We understand that God made us for him. We're all good here. But let me ask you a question. Does your life reflect that you're pursuing the God who made you for himself? Or are you saying to God, listen, I'm grateful that you made me, but I will choose to believe that you were made for me. Hey, it's Sunday morning, Jesus. You were made for me. I'm gonna go worship you. I'm gonna go listen to a sermon at Tomoka that's gonna be way longer than it should be, right? I'm gonna do all of that, right? But here's the thing. God wasn't made for you. You were made for him. And part of the thing that, listen, part of the reason why people struggle all year long in their faith is they will not surrender to God. What do you want me to do? Yesterday, I got a text from my 21-year-old daughter, who's a graduate from USF. She studied to be a social worker and was dead set on being a child protective investigator. She did a 6-month intern as an investigator. She texted me yesterday at about 11 and she said this, "I'm having a bit of an existential crisis. I would appreciate a phone call." Can you imagine me telling my dad that when I was 21? And here's the funny part. She had texted me at 8:30 that morning, and she had said this, "Can you send me $112 to pay my electric bill?" What I should have said to her when she texted the second time is, "I'm having a bit of a financial crisis." But she wanted some advice on what to do because she was scared to go into full-time CPI because it was pretty traumatic seeing what she saw, and she wasn't sure if she could figure it out, and she wasn't sure what she should do, and she was seeking some advice from her dear old dad. And what I wanted to direct her to was, "Honey, I'm so honored that you would ask my advice, but you realize that Jesus made you. And that he made you for himself. And so instead of asking me, maybe you should ask him." Right? Listen, how many of you in here, how many of you online are in the same boat when it comes to your love life, when it comes to the decisions of your life, where you know you were made by him, but you won't live as if you were made for him. We do things and then seek his approval for it. How about instead of doing things and then seeking his approval, we wonder about those things and seek his approval about what we should be and what we should do. Listen, if you'd have given me a life map, I'd have never, ever, ever told you that I'd have lived in Ormond Beach, Florida. Ever. I had no plans or designs on doing that. Of course, today when the winter storm warning is blowing through the Midwest and dropping a foot and a half of snow with 35-mile-an-hour winds, oh, thank God for 55 degrees in Daytona Beach, right? Woo! But I would have never chosen that. I would have never picked that. But when those things come, you get a choice. And some of you in here and online had terrible 2024s in your marriage, in your finances, and you fill in the blank because instead of understanding that you need Jesus because he made you and he made you for himself, you've decided that he made you and that he was made for you. You'll choose how that works in your marriage. You'll choose when to apply that in your personal life and in your moral choices. If you want a better 2025, maybe it's time for us to stop playing around with that and understand that if I was made by him and for him, I should really ask him what he wants me to do. Listen, there are a lot of you, and let's be clear about it to everybody online in here. If you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, let me hear you say amen. Let's be clear. The Bible says you were not just made by him, but you were made for him to do the good works that he prepared a long time that you should walk in them. God does have a plan for your life. He does have a plan for your life. You don't need to quote Jeremiah 29:11. Just read Ephesians 2:10. If you're saved, you've got a purpose. You've got an identity and you've got a job to do. And maybe 2024 stunk and maybe 2023 stunk and maybe 2025 will be the same unless you finally understand, God, I finally am willing to surrender to a God who made me and made me for himself. Because that's why you need Jesus. Amen, church? Listen to Hebrews chapter 1. Hebrews chapter 1, the writer writes this. In the past, God spoke to our forefathers through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But say it with me. But in these last days, here's how God spoke. This word spoke means to start a conversation. It actually means to chatter. But in these last days, God started a conversation to us by his what? Son, whom he appointed the heir of all things and through whom he made the universe. We're living in the last days. The last days began the day that Jesus was born. We're in the last days. And in those days, the conversation that God wants to have with all of us is through his son, Jesus, who the Bible describes as the Logos. Logos, it's a Greek word. It means to speak. Comes from the Greek word lego, which means to literally lay someone down to sleep. It came to mean this. It's a way of putting an argument to bed. To bed. I love the Cubs. Joe loves the Cardinals. Right? We don't have many debates about, well, who's a better team? Because anytime we do, Joe simply shows me the picture of the 13 World Series banners that the Cardinals have, and I show him the three we have. That's called a logos. It is a way to speak, to put an argument to bed. In these last days, the conversation that God is having with the world that he made for himself is this. I'm going to put an end to this argument. You need Jesus. You need Jesus, not just to believe in him, not just to believe in him, but to actually surrender to him. And the reason you need Jesus isn't just because of who he is. It's also because of what he offers. Because of what he offers. One of the things I've had to do as I've worked through this vertigo thing is I've had to go to a chiropractor for the first time in my life. Anybody been to a chiropractor? How many of you love going to the chiropractor? Okay, you are sick people and need your own church, right? 60 years old. And then, listen, if you're online in here and you're a chiropractor, listen, I'm going to say some things that are disparaging about your profession. I say it in a joking manner, okay? But for 60 years, I've always viewed the chiropractor as the last person I saw before I was crippled, okay? That's how I was. Listen, that whole thing just freaks me out. Well, one of the things I've had to do as I've worked through this vertigo is I had to go see a chiropractor. Right? And one of the things I found is that the back of my neck is all sort of jacked up. And as I look straight, my head tilts left. And guess what? They're like, you need adjustment. No, I don't. Yeah, you need adjustment. So I went to chiropractor, scared to death. And of course, you know, they're messing around. They're sort of rolling your head around. They're like, oh, yeah. Right? Right? And they're like bending your neck in this weird way. And here's the thing that's so frustrating. They're like, just relax. Right? Just let your head fall into my hand. I'm like, no. Right? So a couple weeks ago, I went to the chiropractor for the first time. And they're messing with my neck. And they're like, you know, really got to... you know, adjust it, and I am terrified, right? And she's trying to get me to lay my head in her hand, and I mean, the second she felt me relax, I don't know what happened, but it was the most violent moment of my life. Truly. When it happened, she cracked it so fast, and it was so loud, the first thing I said to her was, did you just turn the lights on in the room? And she laughed and she said, you'd be surprised how many people say that. And then I said to her, she said, what do you think? And I said, that was the most violent thing I've ever experienced in my life. It was so fast and so violent. And then, of course, she wanted to do the other side. Well, I knew what was coming. I didn't go very well, right? But here's the thing. Not only do you need Jesus because of who he is, the God who created you, not just created you, but made you for himself. You need him because of what he offers. I didn't want to go to the chiropractor. I didn't want to believe that I needed it, right? But what they offered was what I needed. What does Jesus offer? Here's what he offers, right? John 1:4, Bible says, in him was what? Life. He said that life was the light of all men. The Greek word life there is the Greek word zoe. Everybody in here, everybody online is experiencing bios. At some level, your brain is functioning, your heart is beating, and you're experiencing physical life. The Bible says that in Jesus, it's not bios, but it's zoe. It's the idea that there is more to life than just breathing and eating and sleeping. There are memories, there are families, there are moments, there are people, there are all of these things that your photo albums and phones are now full of regarding videos and pictures that you would say makes life worth living. Yes or no? He says this, if you want to experience true life, you need me. You need me. You think you need the right sex partner. You think you need multiple sex partners. You think you need enough alcohol. You think you need enough drugs. You think you need to change your sexual identity. You think, fill in the blank, that's where I'm going to find life. This is where I'm going to find meaning. Listen, only way you're going to find life in this world is through who? It's through Jesus. And listen, for those of you that don't know Jesus, that might be hard for you to stomach. Because right now, the life that you're pursuing outside of Jesus, pretty fulfilling. But there's going to come a moment, and there's going to come a day where the life you're choosing to pursue will no longer fulfill your needs. Remember this moment. It's in Jesus that you have life. And for those of you online and here that already know Jesus, you say amen to that, but does your life reflect that the only true fulfillment in your life comes from Jesus? Or is Jesus just one other thing you're adding to the photo album to make life fulfilling? You see, for some of us, we've just messed around with Jesus and we truly don't understand that if I'm gonna have the full experience of life, I truly need Jesus. I need to lean into him. I need to find my purpose in him, because in him was what? Life. Jesus had this in Matthew 7. He said in verse 13, enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But listen to this, small is the gate and narrow is the road that leads to what? Zoe, and one of the saddest lines in all of Scripture, and only a few are gonna find it. You wanna know why it's so narrow? You wanna know why it's so small? Because you can only go through it one person, and that's Jesus, just him. The only way to find value and meaning and fulfillment in life isn't pursuing the right career, the right relationship, the right choice immorally, the right choice financially. You find true life in experiencing it through Jesus. Not only does he offer life, he also offers us a chance to be a part of a family. He offers us a chance to be called children of God. And listen, if you're not a Christian in here online, as we've said it before, truly grateful that you're here. And you don't have to do Christian research. Just do regular research of people that don't believe in Jesus. And you will find this, and you will have found this forever and a day. When the family breaks down, when the family unit breaks down, all kinds of issues arise in society. You agree with that, yes or no? And listen, I don't know if you paid attention or not, but the family unit is a disaster in the United States of America. Over 50% of first marriages never make it past 7 years. And almost all of those marriages have child, at least one. And all of a sudden, we're raising generation after generation after generation of families that are broken. Kids come from broken homes, abusive homes, physical abuse, verbal abuse, sexual abuse. And all of a sudden, the family doesn't mean anything. And then they come to church and they find out that God is their father. Do you know how awkward that is for so many people who come to church? Because all they've ever known is a crappy set of parents. People who were mean and abusive and neglectful, and all of a sudden, you're in the family of God. Well, that is a terrible concept to people. But the reality is, you and I, according to John, says this, to anyone who believed in his name, he gave the right, the privilege to become a child of God, to be a part of his family. Listen, one of the greatest things about Vertigo over the last 4 months is I have an amazing family at Tomoka Christian Church. So many of you have written and texted and emailed and prayed for me. I can't imagine what the last 4 months would have been like without the love and support of the family that I have at Tomoka Christian Church. One of the best parts, listen, and like every family, we're dysfunctional. We're dysfunctional because you're here, okay? And because I'm here. But just because it's dysfunctional doesn't mean it can't have value and meaning. The most important thing that you get, one of the most important things you get in your relationship with the Lord is you get all of you. I can't imagine my kingdom experience on this earth without all of you. And you have no idea the value of being a part of a family. And it's only through Jesus you get to be a part of that. Galatians 3 says this, you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. You're all sons and daughters of God through faith in Christ Jesus. Maybe it's time for some of you online and here to recognize you're a part of something bigger than yourself. And yes, it's a dysfunctional family, but man, what an amazing family it is. And I get it. Listen, it's convenient to watch services at home. It's convenient to do things online. But man, you miss the best part of being a family when you don't gather together, when you don't serve together, when you don't do life together in small groups, right? That's when you truly experience the family. 1 John 3 says this. It says, how great is the love the Father has lavished on us. Here's how he defines it. We're lavished with love because we can be called children of God, and that is what we are. Anybody online in here grateful to be a part of the family of God? Say amen, right? And maybe you don't know because you've never been a part of a good family, but one of the reasons you need Jesus is because you get to be a part of the family of God. And every person in the family has value and has meaning. And then here's the last thing that you get and why you need Jesus, because he offers grace and truth, right? Anybody online in here ever do anything wrong? See, I told people last night, Sunday morning at 9:30, four people will raise their hand to that statement, right? How many of you have ever done anything wrong, right? And how many of you in doing something wrong did get mercy? You got mercy. You didn't get what you deserved, right? Boy, it's nice to get mercy, is it not? But it pales in comparison to getting grace. Because mercy prevents you from getting what you deserve, and grace just simply gives you what you don't. Just what you don't. And here's the thing, the world is not a gracious place. And you're not gonna find grace in a lot of families. And you're not gonna find it in your jobs. You're not gonna find it in these relationships. Listen, we spend hours upon hours every month and every week counseling married couples because one or the other doesn't wanna give grace. Listen, grace is an amazing thing, is it not? Ephesians 2 says this, for it is by what? It's by grace you've been saved. Anybody grateful for that grace? Say amen, right? We get grace through Jesus. Some of you online and here need this more than ever in 2025. You need to start afresh with the idea that I may have gotten mercy, but man, it would be nice to have something work in my favor. Grace is God's inclination to lean towards you in a favorable way. That's what grace does. And the Bible says if you're a believer, we stand in that grace all day long. Through faith, we have access to that grace in which we now stand. Some of you need to learn to live in the grace that God has given you and let go of the past. Because some of your 2024s were ruined because of your sinful choices, your gratitude for mercy, but your unwillingness to accept that God's grace was for you as well. Romans 5 says, where we sin, that increases, God's grace increases all the more. Anybody grateful for God's grace? Say amen. You need Jesus because you need his grace, but you also need his truth. Man, our nation has changed considerably in the last 10, 15 years, yes? And you know the biggest change in our nation today is we no longer understand the concept of truth, right? We now believe that truth is simply located inside of you. Whatever you decide truth is, that's what truth is, right? You get to make your own choice about truth. You get to make it relative to your situation and your problems and your issues and your filters, and every person who has an iPhone now get to post videos telling you their truth. My least favorite phrase in the world is Green Bay Packers. My second least favorite phrase in the world is my truth. You know, there's no such thing as my truth. There's all kinds of opinions. But truth in itself is one thing. And here's what you get through Jesus. You get truth. Jesus said, I am the way, I am the, and I am the life. I'm the aletheia. I'm the thing that when revealed can stand the test and prove to be a fact. right? I will tell you that I think, in truthfulness, the best iced coffee in the world is a McDonald's. Exactly. And if I said to you, that's my truth, right? Do you know how dumb that sounds? No. It's just my opinion. That's my opinion. What you get with Jesus is truth. And here's what I want to close with. The thing that's changed the most in our nation is this. People who follow the world have never, ever been a big fan of truth. But for the first time in our history, the churches are no longer protecting the truth. We are now living in a world today where progressive Christianity is taking over. And progressive Christianity says this: God loves you. Jesus loves you, and he wants to have a life with you because he made you for himself. But if your truth is it's okay to have the same sex partner, if it's okay for you to change your biological identity at birth, if it's okay for you to have multiple sex partners, or if it's okay for you to do this, then here's the thing. Progressive Christianity says those things are morally relevant. They don't matter. The only thing that matters is that God loves you. What a lie straight from the pit of hell. Listen, as a church, we have to always protect the truth. Amen? And the truth is found only in God's word, not in here and not in here. See, maybe you don't know you need Jesus. I didn't know I needed eyeglasses, and I certainly didn't know I needed to cut my salt out, and I certainly would have never believed I needed to go see a chiropractor to have my neck popped. But guess what I found out? I needed all three of those things. Maybe you don't know you need Jesus. Maybe you didn't know you were made by him and for him. And maybe you didn't understand that he offered life, real fulfillment of life, and he offers you to be a part of the family of God. And more importantly, he gives you grace and truth. Amen, church? So I'm asking you to stand. We're going to read this verse to close, to sort of wrap up this week and set us on the course for the next few weeks, because ultimately the goal is for you to believe in Jesus. Jesus said this in John 8. I told you that you would die in your sins. Read it with me, church. If you do not believe that I am the one I claim to be, you will indeed die in your sins. Listen, you need Jesus. Amen, church. Father, today I thank you for this wonderful, amazing family that I get to be a part of. I pray today for anybody in here online that doesn't know Jesus. God, would you convince them, show them, indeed make them know that you made them for a purpose, and that they need your son, Jesus. And for those of us that know Jesus, God, help us to stop playing around and to truly lean into the one we need more than anything. I pray in his name. And all of God's people said, amen. God bless you, church.